Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to the May 4th, 2010 meeting of the Carson City Parks and Recreation Commission. Could we please have roll call?
Chairperson Curtis.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Lasko. Commissioner Adams.
Here.
Commissioner Brode.
Here.
Commissioner Carlson.
Here.
Commissioner Livermore. Commissioner Lehman.
Here.
Commissioner Smolenski.
Here.
Commissioner Westergaard. Quorum is present.
Thank you. At this point in time, if there's anybody in the audience who would like to address us on something that is not on our agenda tonight, please come forward. And looks like everybody's here to talk about something on the agenda or listen. Okay, thank you. Okay, we have the minutes of April 6th. Anybody have any comments or?
I move that we accept the minutes from the April 6th meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Okay, anybody want to change anything on the agenda? Looks like we're ready to go. Okay, we'll start with staff updates. And the first one is the timeline for the indoor recreation program sports and facilities needs survey. Vern and Joel.
For the record, Joel Dunn, Carson City Recreation Operations Manager. Here today to discuss the timeline for the recreation programs needs assessment survey that we're reaching out to the community to find out, first of all, just as it explains, we want to find out what the community wants to see Carson City Recreation offer in the future for indoor recreation programs. In your handout, and also we have quite a few additional handouts for you in regard to the survey, I want to talk about the timeline. As agendized, the timeline, if you look at April 26th, that's when we were to reach out and start the public outreach campaign, which we have sent out. We've done email blasts, reach out to all of our stakeholders from youth sports association groups. We've got all of the adult and recreation program participants from recreation currently in our systems. We've gone out to our renters over the last 2 years. We've pretty much reached out to every stakeholder we possibly could within the community, in addition to having an article this past Saturday in the Nevada Appeal. We're offering two opportunities to complete the survey. One is an online survey. You've got not only a postcard in Spanish, but also in English. We're giving the opportunity of two different online surveys. If you look at, I think on the screen, you'll actually have the link tonight that you can go out and participate. You can only participate one time in the survey. It is addressed to only allow one IP address per survey. We are looking to have the survey results back between May 5th and May 14th for the online survey. We will close the survey at 5 p.m. on the 14th. The other opportunity, if you want to come into the Recreation Division, we're going to give you the opportunity to come in tomorrow night, and that'll be here in the Community Center Gymnasium between 6:30 and 8 p.m., and we'll have a paper survey, both printed in English and in Spanish, and I believe you have those as a handout also. The second opportunity to come in, for those that have to work in the evenings, you can come in this Saturday, May 8th. Once again, in the Community Center Gym between 9:30 and 11 to fill out a paper survey. We will limit one survey per participant that comes in to the gym. Okay. I think we've been able to meet, I think this is the second time with the Park and Rec Board. We've been able to reach out and do a draft survey to make sure that not only were we meeting the questions that we wanted to see back with the data, but also to kind of put together a draft data results from the survey. It looks like it's going to work perfectly for what we're trying to achieve. So I can answer any questions. Oh, actually, Vern would like to talk.
For the record, Vern Cron, as Joel indicated, we are reaching out to a lot of our user groups and other participants in that manner, but we have not forgotten the public. Joel indicated that we did have an article. We've been working with the Nevada Appeal. You have a handout. With that, Joel did indicate that we did have an article in the Nevada Appeal on Saturday alerting to the public that this was going to happen. We have also reached out to the different advisory boards as well that we are in charge of obviously the Parks and Recreation Commission. You should have received an email blast from Stella. So hopefully that's happened. Then we've sent that same information to Shatree, Open Space, and Carson River Advisory Committee. And it has happened late this afternoon or it will happen tomorrow. We'll be sending the same information out citywide to the city employees. So we're trying to make a real effort to get the word out, get people from all different venues to be able to participate in the survey. So we just wanted to share these, just share the basic information with you about who we're trying to reach and how we're doing it.
Commissioner Smolenski?
Quick question. At these outreach events, who all is going to be there? Is it you, Joel, you, Vern, Roger? Is Commissioner Walt going to be there since she is the one that kind of initiated that?
That's up to her. I mean, she'd be more than welcome to be there if she'd like to attend. And we can extend an invitation to her, too.
Yes, you are correct, though. The three of us will be at both the outreach community meetings.
Okay. You know, I guess the reason I asked is, you know, since, you know, Commissioner Walt was, and Supervisor Walt was the one that kind of initiated that, I was just wondering if that invitation has been extended to her in case there is any questions based, you know, or you're directed to the BOS.
Yeah, I guess along those lines, so on, because I was thinking of coming to both of them just to witness. So is there going to be like a presentation or a discussion, or just going to hand out the surveys to folks and say, here they are, and let's fill them in, and then you can leave?
No, we're not going to. Oops, sorry, Joel. We're not going to provide a formal presentation. We'll just hand out the surveys, give them some instructions. And, you know, we want to be careful that we don't unintentionally lead someone towards, you know, some unintended results. So we're not going to provide a formal presentation at all.
All right. Any other questions? Commissioner Smolenski.
In addition to encouraging everybody to go online to do this, and it's a one-time shot, I'm assuming that the handouts that you give to anybody that does attend these events, those will be also incorporated or uploaded into the results online. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. We will, after the 14th, we've got 3 days we've set aside staff, including myself, to go ahead and put all of the paper surveys into the survey processor so that all the data is reported one time. Correct.
But Jim, if I understand your question to be that any handouts that we gave people at the open meetings, is that what you're referring to?
Or at any time, anybody that has a handout that's being returned to, you know, Parks and Rec, that information is going to be uploaded into the rest of the Survey Monkey?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's anticipated then that by our next meeting you would have this data to present, or?
Actually, if you go back to the timeline, as noted in your handout, the timeline will address the May 5th community outreach event, the second May 8th, the community outreach event that will be 9:30 to 11. The online survey will close once again at 5 o'clock on the 14th. June 1st or the 15th, tentatively, we will come to the Park and Rec Commission meeting to do a presentation. And then following that on June 17th, tentatively, if the data, you know, we're going to do everything we can to get the data at that time. But we'd like to be back June 17th for the Board of Supervisors presentation.
All right. Anybody in the audience have any questions about this? Everybody in the audience going to fill it out? Raise your hand. One. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, we hope so. Anyway, yeah, this is for indoor recreation. I know most of you are probably for outdoor recreation, but, you know, it's good for everybody. Okay, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Great. Once again, I'd like to encourage every member of the community to participate in the survey, whether it's online or to come into the community center the 5th or the 8th. Anyone that is on a board and participated in the draft survey, you must fill out the survey again now that we've opened it up. We've cleared out all that data. The survey starts on the 5th. Yeah, thank you.
All right, thanks. Next update is Carson City Chamber of Commerce Monthly Carson City Cleanup 2010. And this event is Saturday, May 15th. Vern?
Yes, that is correct. Once again, the Carson City Parks and Recreation Department is teaming up with the Chamber of Commerce to put on monthly cleanup events. This upcoming event, as we've indicated in your packet, is going to be Saturday, May 15th. We will be cleaning along the Carson City Freeway multi-use path. That's the one that goes from near Home Depot and College Parkway south to North Ridge Drive. We did that last year. It's amazing, even after a year of having cleaned it, how quickly it becomes dirty again. So we're really making an effort this time to clean up not only trash, but there's a lot of tumbleweeds that have happened in there. As the other thing that I did is I gave you a handout just to give you a little bit of an idea of how successful these are becoming, is that the Carson City Chamber of Commerce put out an article in their Voice of Business, Every Day Should Be Earth Day in Carson City, and it shows a picture of the number of the volunteers, plus the thing that's amazing to me, that's a 20-yard dumpster that they filled up in 3 hours at the intersection of the freeway and US 50. So we're very proud of our volunteers and the work they've done. Also, I want to give some kudos to Waste Management. That was a 20-yard dumpster was delivered and removed from the site as a community gesture, as a donation to the community in their efforts to keep it clean. They were glad to be a part of it with the expectation that we may have 50-plus more again, and tumbleweeds, we are going to be ordering two dumpsters this time. This one, as you can tell from the picture, we were overflowing, so we're looking now at a 30-yard dumpster and a 20-yard dumpster, and if we get the same kind of turnout or better than we had the last time, it's really going to make a difference on that particular section of our multi-use path. So we're hopeful. Invite the community to come out. Again, it's going to be Saturday, May 15th from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., and we will be staging out of the Home Depot. This is in North Carson City, the Home Depot in North Carson City off of College Parkway. So invite the public to come, and we'd love to have them there.
Thank you. Any comments from Commissioner Smolenski?
In addition to that, Vern, since I am chairman of the chamber this year, I saw an e-blast today in conjunction with this. There's a new fitness center coming into town called, I think it's Anytime Fitness, and they are donating T-shirts to as while supplies last, and also a 7-day free trial for anybody that does come out. And by the looks of it, based on how many yards of junk you picked up last time, look forward to it. And we are proud as a chamber to be in partnership with Parks and Rec.
It's been a good, solid partnership, and it's been a good thing for the community as well.
Well, the manager of the chamber stresses that you get a lot of exercise this way. And I know she's after me to be out there. But if people show up, what should they bring?
I'm sorry, I was reading a note from my boss. He was probably telling me to keep it short, but that's not the case. He's got something else in mind for me. I'm sorry, what was the question again, Donna?
If people show up, what should they bring? Do they need to bring anything?
Yes, what we'd like them to do is to make sure that if it's a sunny, warm day, they need to make sure they have a hat or something to cover their head. That's always important. We supply water. If they want to bring their own gloves, they're welcome to do that. We have the community cleanup trailer, which will be providing any safety kind of vests or those kind of things, so they don't need to bring that. I have most of the tools we need, but since we're going to be dealing with a lot of tumbleweeds this time around, any kind of pitchforks or large rakes would be probably helpful if they have them to bring them, because you know we've only got like 8 or 10 in the community cleanup trailer, and those will go quick if there's 50 people there. So that would be something. We have some gloves, but it's always nice to bring their own gloves too. So gloves, hat, some sunblock. Thank you. Yes, sunblock, and just come prepared for the weather. Hopefully, it'll be nice.
Okay. Any other comments from anybody? Thank you, Vern. Next staff update: dedication of Oregon Mill Road River Access Area, Saturday, May 27th. Second. May 22nd. Vern.
Thank you. It's going to be definitely a busy month of May for the Parks and Recreation Department. We have, of course, the survey that we're going to be doing on May 8th. The 15th, of course, is the Chamber of Commerce. That also is happening on Saturday with the cleanup on the 15th. And now we have the ribbon cutting ceremony on May 22nd. So it's going to be a busy month for the Parks and Recreation Department. This ribbon cutting ceremony is going to, as you've indicated, is going to be Saturday, May 22nd. It begins at 10 o'clock at the Morgan Mill Road River Access Area. And we'd love to have people come out. We are going to be celebrating not only the opening of our new facility on the river, but also just the celebration of the aquatic trail. There will be people from Lyon County there as well, because without their assistance, we would not have a takeout point. And they've spent time working with us over the past couple years to create the Santa Maria Park, which is also on the river and is a nice facility as well. So we're looking forward to that celebration. And there is an opportunity for the commission, if they want to join staff and other people in a whitewater rafting trip. The folks, there is information in your packet that you need to look at. If you want to come, it is a fee-based invitation. So it's $60 for rafting the lower portion of the river through the canyon and a $30 expense to go from Carson River Park to Morgan Mill. So if the commission is interested, there's opportunities for you to come along with us and see the trail firsthand. So also, a couple of things. We've gotten some real nice press working with the Nevada Appeal. I want to compliment their efforts on keeping this thing on the front page of the appeal. We have put into your packets an article that was in the paper on April 17th, some pictures of the completed site, for those of you who may not have the opportunity quite to get out there yet. And I also included with the handouts today a website that RCI did on their own. I put that in your packet. But Resource Concepts Incorporated put together this wonderful little website about the opening of the Morgan Mill Road River Access Area. It's a combination of different information they've pieced together from different articles and press releases and those kind of things. Very nicely done, and they did it for free for us. They just showed up. They just sent me a link today, and I looked on, and I said, wow. So they're excited about it. We're going to have our consultants there, all of our grant funding partners. Of course, the Parks and Recreation Commission is invited, as well as the Carson River Advisory Committee. So hopefully there'll be a big turnout. Hopefully the event probably won't last more than a half hour. That's kind of what we're looking at. But anywhere, half hour to 45 minutes on a nice, hopefully a nice Saturday morning, and we'll be down the river.
Commissioner Lehman?
Yeah, I noticed the article in the newspaper also. It looks great. And just to clarify, for those of us that want to get out there and get on the river, the section from Carson River Road to Morgan Mill, that's beginner families, young kids could do that.
Yes, that's correct.
And then below Morgan Mill is where it gets a little more technical.
Absolutely. And that's the area of the river that, unless you have some experience in white water rafting, I wouldn't recommend taking canoes down there. I wouldn't recommend taking Walmart rafts. I wouldn't recommend taking inner tubes. That's a river that you really need some technical experience in. If you've whitewater rafted before and have that, that's fine. Or if you're going to go with a guide, that's also good. That's one way somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience on a whitewater, a class 3 whitewater section, could still go. There's the opportunity to get guides and go down the river. But that's a very good clarification. Thank you.
But a Walmart raft would work from Carson River down to Morgan Mill with
absolutely
a couple kids in there.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
But always wear your personal flotation device, no matter what watercraft you're using.
Any other comments on this? All right. Hopefully people can make it out that day. Okay. The next staff update is the Park and Recreation Department's Ann Muscle Powers dedication of the Linear Park Multi-Use Trail on Saturday, June 5th, 2010. Vern and Juan.
Yes, this is one that Mr. Guzman can share more about since I've been talking for a while. We'll let him talk about it. But again, it's going to be one of those weekends that we get to be out again. So it kind of goes the ribbon cutting ceremony, then we skip a weekend, although I'm trying desperately to find something to put into that weekend just because. And then we're going to jump to June 5th, which is something Muscle Power has approached us on. And Juan, why don't you go ahead and share with us?
Good afternoon. I'm Juan Guzman, caffeine thing, in case you have forgotten. This is a great event, and I hope many of our residents and visitors will join us, and we expect to be able to offer you the opportunity to, in a large group, bicycle or walk all the way from Governor's Field into the Moffett property, and if you have a little bit of energy left, you can continue on the Mexican Ditch Trail all the way to the end of just the Silver Sow Ranch, and then you can possibly continue there too, but there officially we end. We hope to have a porta potty and some water available, and so some of the key intersections and corners, and then you can ride back. The activity is heavily sponsored by our partners rather than the city event, and we're very, very enthusiastic about it and can't wait. I am going to miss it myself, unfortunately, but really look forward to offer this opportunity to the community to break our trail. Any questions, comments?
What time and where do people start, and is it for walking and bicycling or?
All of the above.
At what time?
We hope to gather, we discussed about 10 in the morning, didn't we?
Yeah.
That Governor's Field, so there's plenty of parking available. Vern says that he will open the gate so that we can walk into the trail right from Governor's Field. So that is the northern parking area, the area that will get you really close to the trail, and we'll take off from there.
At 10 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From
and
10
it takes on. What, about if you go to Silver Saddle?
Well, if you go my speed, it may take you the whole day, but if you, it's not that far in terms of distances. It's just more symbolic. But probably in about half an hour to 45 minutes, you should be able to cover that distance.
Okay. Commissioner Lehman?
So, yeah, one on open space. Boy, this is another wonderful trail that I've used quite a bit. And you're right, you get up to Silver Saddle Ranch, but then you can keep going all the way to Mexican Dam. Now, there had been thought about where the trail crosses Carson River Road. Wasn't there going to be a change in the alignment there and a crosswalk or something? I was just wondering if there's any more thought on that.
Yeah, we continue to try to figure out the best way of crossing. And as a matter of fact, Macquarie, who is in the audience representing Muscle Power, have shared with us some ideas about how to make it safer. And we have also talked with our people at Public Works. That a specific road is becoming or already is a city road in the future. So for the time being, we have some warning horse or equestrian trail sign, which will hopefully indicate to the people to take caution, to slow down. And then we want to move the crossing more to the north. And without a map, it's really hard to describe to you. But in order to increase the size distance and make it safer, eventually we have to figure out on the longer term how to do it more appropriately and how to enter Silver Saddle Ranch in a place that both offers safety and at the same time allows you to go either towards the west or to the east and select the trail that you want to use to cross Silver Saddle Ranch. If, for the purpose of this ride, if you get to Moffett, we're very happy. If you continue on Mexican Ditch Trail all the way to Carson River Road, just before you enter Silver Saddle Ranch, we're incredibly happier that you have done that. Any questions, comments? And is there, would you ask Annie if there's something she would like to say, to add?
Ms. McQuarrie, do you have any comments you would like to make at this time?
No.
No.
In the case, no. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That sounds interesting. Like Vern says, a lot going on. Okay, the next item is construction of the Vidler Trail.
There's a picture that we, in the office and in your packet, that we entitled Bureaucrats in the Sun. And it shows Mr. Mollendorf, Scott, and just hanging out. Actually, I took the picture. Yeah, he's not in the picture. And that is the rough grading of the trail. The Bittler property is the property located in between Silversado, in between the Riverview Park and the park at a Morgan Mill, the Morgan Mill Trail surrounding the golf course. It is the last bastion of private land that we need to cross in order to be able to have public access from one side of the river to the other along the west side. It requires crossing Eagle Creek, so that will take a few grants and a real bridge, and that's coming. You know, it will take a little bit of time to get there. However, when we take possession of the property as a donation from the Bittler Water Company, it will come with the trail that you see in the picture moving forward. And then, unfortunately, it still would not connect. We still need to cross Eagle Valley Creek. But as soon as we have that, we'll have a connection from Riverview Park to Morgan Mill and Morgan Mill Trail. So it's very, very exciting news.
One of the other things, too, if I may, is to even maybe look a little bit bigger picture on this, is that with the acquisition of the Girard property, we will be able to also, as Juan has put together in the land transfer agreements, the ability to use some of those farm trail, farm roads on that property to be a part of the trail system. And we're going to need another bridge that crosses from the Girard property over to Riverview Park. So we're looking in the next grant cycle, which is in 2011, applying for a grant, and then hopefully the following year, and that would be a grant for both bridges, similar to what we did for the Mexican ditch, where we did two bridges at the same time with the same grant. We're going to do the same thing again. You got all the permitting to go through. You got all that stuff to do, and it's just easier to do it all at once. So that's going to be our plan. So in 2011, we're looking at applying in the next grant cycle for the bridges, and hopefully then in 2012 doing the construction. Then we'll have paths that connect. So we're excited about that. That's kind of our long-range plan.
Yeah, I was just thinking because, you know, we have items here where we're talking about we're not going to be finishing projects and we're going to have to let some grants go and all this kind of thing. And what I was hoping is what you just said is in this case, you know, one of the things we would like to do, I think the whole city would like to do, is advertise and market the fact that we have this wonderful trail system. And if we can get them connected, and it's just, you know, it's not a matter of ownership now. It's just a matter of finding, you know, the grant money, et cetera, to do it. I'm hoping somehow or another we can find the time and you know, the folks that can help us do that. So that's really good.
Yeah, so do we.
When will we be getting the Bittler Trail?
We don't have a date. It depends pretty much on the improvements that are being done on the property, both for the lots that are being sold and also as part of other projects with the utility. So when that is over, that will be the appropriate time. I anticipate that it will be before the year's end unless something weird happens.
Any other comments from anybody in the audience or commission? Great. Okay, well, then the next item is the purchase of the Girard property.
It's my pleasure to inform you that the Girard Family Trust have agreed to sell to Carson City the lands located west of the Carson River. They also own about 26 acres east of the Carson River that are not going to be part of the sale. We have agreed on a price, and the board of supervisors have agreed to do that. And more importantly, with that property also comes the commitment to be able to irrigate it in the future. For the time being, we will use the water rights from the Anderson and the Girard family to water those lands. But once those water rights go away, we will have to figure out a way to irrigate, and that the utility has considered three alternatives so far involving effluent or involving actually water itself. The Board of Supervisors understood all of that and made me proud by proceeding and agreeing that those are the terms under which they're purchasing the property. We have our partners on Q1 are paying for about 75% of the cost of that transaction, which is about $3.7 million. So they're really interested too that, that the property be irrigated, and they have a condition that requires that if it's the irrigation were to cease, they can't require the money to go back. So we definitely don't want to do that, and we were really clear with the board of how deep we are committing to do. But so it's moving forward, and it's very exciting. We are in escrow, and we hope to close sometime end of May or early in June. The main factor is that an advancement of the funding that we have obtained through the Q1 grants to be able to close. Many thanks to the Gerard family, to Mickey Anderson, who is in the line and have been very helpful in showing us the ropes, and also to the attorneys of Mr. Gerard, who actually make the deal happen. Any questions, comments?
Is the land going to be used for agriculture or?
Yes, the land will remain similar to the Anderson piece adjacent to the west. The land will remain under agricultural use. However, we will have the right to use trails or existing farm roads close to the river. Right now, that trail also doesn't complete all the way to Riverview. The river have been moving dirt around and has been excavating that portion of the trail. But we'll have the opportunity to be able to continue and move around and move the fences to be able to connect to our properties to the north. So the public will be able to use it. In addition to that, and upon giving notification, we have the ability to visit the wetlands and study the wetlands and take Boy Scouts or classes or groups interested in wetlands to the site. And again, all of that is through the thanks to the sellers agree, even when they're going to continue their business, to be able to, for these things to happen, which is very worrisome when you have cattle in the land to allow the public to visit. So far, so good.
Mr. Lehman?
Just one real quick thing I think is worth reiterating, because I've seen some criticism from the public that how could we possibly spend $3-point-something million on land and we're laying people off at the city, that this was funded by voter-approved question 18 and Nevada question 1. That money could not be used for the general fund of the city. It was dedicated for this purpose, and it was used for what it was intended for. So,
thank you very much. Correct.
And again, I'll comment for Vern that the Nevada appeal did quite a nice coverage on one and the open space program.
Vern is not competitive, so he came over and congratulated me and everything. He had tears in his eyes even.
All right, well, thank you. Okay, now let's get on to our agenda items. And the first one is for a discussion only regarding muscle-powered trail construction and maintenance efforts in the Carson Range.
I'm sorry. Ann and Jeff, come on forward. I would like to bring forward Macquarie and Jeff Potter with Muscle Power, and they have been instrumental in this is their idea, actually. And they just come to us and ask if we could help, and we say we love to. And then we went to Open Space, and Open Space says, yes, absolutely, we want to participate. And what they have in mind, the best way to describe it is two ways, two specific things. Number one is a general arrangement or agreement or understanding by which Muscle Power and Carson City can participate in building trails, in obtaining lands for trails, in all the paperwork and planning that is required before a trail goes on. And in addition to that, they're wanting a specific also funding towards compliance with the National Environmental Policy Act to a specific idea that they have in mind. That specific idea is to connect through just about an 18 inch wide trail, Kings Canyon and Ash Canyon Road, or some trails existing in Ash Canyon. And when I say about 18 inches, you know, we call it a multi-purpose trail, but it's not motorized, so equestrian can use it. However, these guys really enjoy bicycling, and that's what, where the love is. They have agreed to not only facilitate the construction and the planning, and but they are going to maintain it too. And presently, they have some already some facilities that are partially located within city lands, and they spill a little bit into some other lands. And we're going through the process of obtaining legal easements to establish those as city trails also in the Ash Canyon. Had I forgotten anything?
That was wonderful.
Any questions, comments? Do everybody understand what is it that we're doing?
Yeah, so right now you're focusing on the Ash Canyon Kings Trail, Kings Canyon Trail. Is that? Because we do have, amongst the commission, we have these goals, and we do have a group that's working on a goal I think you're familiar with. Commissioner Broad is working on, which would be mountain trails and things like this. And so we're kind of, you know, this sounds wonderful, and I'm sure it's going to take quite an effort to do this, but I'm one of these people that keeps looking in the future, so I'm really glad to see Muscle Powered is active and going to help us.
Jeff has a description of sort of the history of this whole endeavor that, if you're interested, he could tell you about.
Or not. I was in Shelley D. Eldeen's office a couple years ago, and I mentioned trails to her and how it'd be nice to have them on the west side, and she brought forth the Unified Pathways Master Plan to me, and that's when I noticed the mid-level trail. And that's when we approached the Forest Service, and I approached Muscle Power, we approached the Forest Service, and there's a couple things that the Forest Service needed, and one was environmental assessment, and the other was a commitment from the city. And that's why we're here now, is to get support from the commission to move forward with this project. We've already had, as Juan said, unanimous approval from Open Space to go forward with this.
Well, that was a very brief thank you. We appreciate that.
I don't speak well in front of people.
Oh, you're doing very good.
Catch me on the trail, and I'll talk to you here.
All right. Okay. Commissioner Brooke.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Muscle Powered for all their hard work and efforts for pursuing the trails. I really think it's going to benefit Carson City as a whole and bring in a lot of tourism and people who are interested in cycling. We just need to get the approval for all the trails to get the NEPA done, and I'm very excited about it. And there was one more thing in our packet about the NEPA that's being required on federal lands if you want to build the trails, and Open Space was supportive of funding that for about $85,000, and so I think that was worth mentioning, and to have their support is also really nice. They're a city backed agent or backed committee also, and hopefully we can get this going and get these trails moving forward quickly.
I just have to add, I want to tell a very brief story about my vacation, because 30 years ago I lived in a little nothing farming town in western Colorado named Fruta. It's just west of Grand Junction. And I went back to Fruta for the first time last week. I was starting on a river trip, and my brother and I pulled into Fruta. We were going to spend the night there. We pulled in late at night. We passed a motel that was completely full, and all the cars in the lot had one or two bicycles on the top. We went down the little main street, which when I lived there 30 years ago was completely boarded up, and there was a huge bicycle shop there. So I said, Rob, what happened in Fruta? Well, it turns out, you know, I hadn't really been bicycling in Colorado very much. Fruta is a mecca for mountain biking. Fruta has hundreds of miles of mountain biking trails. So I talked to my friends who live there. I said, well, what happened? And they said, well, we have two things. We had people who moved into town and started building trails. And we had the cooperation, the enthusiastic support and cooperation of the Federal Land Management Agency, which there is most of the trails are on BLM land. And I would like to point out that here we have the trail builders already, and we have the public land. To be quite honest, what we don't have yet is the support of the Federal Land Management Agency, because I think with good reason they're a little leery. They haven't heard of Muscle Powered very much. They like to see an organization that has a track record, and they like to see an organization that has the support of the community, which, again, is just to emphasize why we're here. We're in the midst of kind of proving our credibility.
Commissioner Lehman?
Well, gosh, I finally get to meet the guys that have built these wonderful trails in Ash Canyon. I can't thank you enough. I mean, this is just fantastic. I'm a heavy user of the trails, was up there this morning. You guys have done a phenomenal job, and I know that it's all been built with volunteer labor. So the alignment of this current trail, if I'm correct, would where the current Creek Trail begins and comes down Ash Canyon Road, that's where this would take off and start up?
Yes, if you're referring to the west end of the entrance where we drop in, right about the switchback, we were actually considering heading further west. There's a suitable bridge location. We'll have to put something sturdy there, and we'd like to use on-site resources to build that bridge. And then from there, we will switch back up the north-facing slope and then head east with a contour.
I've looked at the map. It looks great. For what it's worth, I know the running community here in town would be more than happy to help construct and even maintain trails also, because we use them too. So by all means, if you need help as you get down the line, there is a running community that would be more than willing to help out. So I'm 100% behind it, and boy, I think it's a small price to pay. Unfortunately, yeah, the feds require this stuff up front, but if you can get past that, it looks great.
Well, thank you, and actually there are several runners in the audience, and also we have been talking with Tom Weon from the Sagebrush Stompers, so we are moving forward with that, but thank you.
I was just going to mention that former commissioner here, now his name escapes me, our school board representative, John McKenna, on his campaign stump, does talk about the work he's done on the Tahoe trails. And it's the same kind of thing. You know, you've got a group of people, then they just take care of it. And it's just really great. So we're very fortunate to have folks like you. Any other comments?
One more comment in relation to the Forest Service too. It helps to understand a little bit that because of the Reno population, they're really heavily involved in doing the recreation planning there, and then because the Carson Valley Trails Association have been so well organized, you know, for a few years now, they have also jumped to the gun in front of us. So we're sort of Johnny come lately, like Ann mentioned, trying to prove ourselves, and in fact trying to demonstrate that this is wanted by the community, and that we're putting our money where our interest is, and willing to fund it to be able to make it happen.
Any other comments from anybody? If not, thank you so much, and we'll, you know, give us a update. Sometimes see how things are going. Thanks a lot. You have our support. All right. Our next item is an action item to recommend to the Planning Commission approval of a special use permit request for the Silver State Charter High and Middle Schools to be located at John D. Winter Centennial Park. Vern and Roger.
Well, and Mark Palmer had requested. Mark, you need a couple minutes to set up?
Yeah, 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay. Okay. I guess we don't need to take a break then. Why don't we go ahead, and if you want to sort it out while they're getting set up.
Not a problem. let me refer you to my staff report, agenda item 4B. I'll just quickly go over things just to give some quick background here as Mark and George are getting set up. As the commission knows, our department has been exploring the idea with Silver State school officials to locate a new public charter high school and middle school on a parcel of land at John D. Winter Centennial Park. This particular parcel, as indicated in Exhibit A in your packet, is located west of the lower Centennial, or John D. Winter Centennial Sports Complex, It's an undeveloped 20-acre parcel that, again, is west of the lower complex and east of the west course, if you can kind of follow my directions. So it's east of the west course of Eagle Valley Golf Course, and it's a 20-acre parcel that's out there that Arrowhead Drive on the south side borders. Just to help everybody who may be tuning in, there we go. North is up in this particular case. Thanks, George. That's right, it's up now. Anyway, what we're looking at is that 20-acre parcel, based on the site development plan that Mark Palmer and George Zabo will be going over this evening, approximately 9 acres of that proposed parcel, or that 20-acre parcel, will be turned over to the school, and the 11 remaining acres will be retained for road and utility easements, not only for the school, but there's also a future development located north of the West Golf Course that we need to provide an access for, and of course then future park facilities as we move forward with the development of our master plan for Centennial Park. We'll be exploring what we want to do there. One of the interesting things that has developed as a part of this planning process on this 20 acres is we've located a fairly large and significant wetlands area on this particular property. And then George and Mark will talk a little bit about that. I think that really adds some interesting components to a community park that might be in the future planned there. Since this is public lands, it's going to require a special use permit. And Jennifer Pruitt from the Planning Division is here this evening, not necessarily to participate, but here to just kind of see how the commission reacts. Staff will be putting together a report that we'll send to Jennifer based on what happens this evening, and we'll also probably have to provide the minutes for the Planning Commission as well from this meeting. So those are the things that are just happening to keep this process moving. This process is on a two-track basis. The first part of this process, which you've experienced back in February, I believe it was, we came to you and talked about the land transfer agreement and joint use agreements. We're still working on those with the attorneys. Hopefully that'll be moving forward to the Board of Supervisors here in the near future. The second part of the process is actually the site development plan, which Mark and George are going to go over. Because it's public property, it will require a special use permit, and that's one of the things we wanted the commission to kind of provide comments for us tonight, and hopefully a positive recommendation to the Planning Commission. Now let's talk a little bit, again, partly for the people who are at home. One of the benefits of joining in this partnership is that the school obviously is going to be building a high school and a middle school. With these educational facilities, they are building a 17,000 square foot gym and theater complex as a part of the facility. They are also providing a 175 by 330 foot athletic field, which is very big. It's a big soccer multi-purpose field, and parking associated with not only the school but also with the fields. The arrangement that we have worked out with them is that the city will be using these facilities as a joint shared facility, very similar to what we do right now with the Carson City School District. We will have joint use of the multi-use sports fields, the gymnasium and theater, and of course the associated parking for whenever we have events there. So we think there's a great benefit not only to the programming aspect that our department does, but also to the community as well. So anyway, with that quick introduction, we'll let George and Mark go into their presentation, and then we can take questions. Is that okay? All right, we're going to get you guys up. We're going to probably have to pull that a little bit closer. We've got to get you on the mic. So if you could bring that a little bit closer for those of us who have poor eyesight or fading eyesight. And we got to get you closer to the mic, George. So wherever you talk.
Do you have any chance of pointer?
Mark does.
Doesn't work.
Oh, it doesn't work.
I gave you my good one.
Oh, you gave me my good one?
Okay, cheers.
There we go. Let me slide out. Mark, why don't you sit here and you can...
Hi, George Zabo here. How are you tonight? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to point from here. How's that sound? Might work. Never know. As Vern described, this is the 20-acre piece you see here on the map. Here's Arrowhead Drive. And from the last time that we talked and we presented the concept here to you and Vern did, we've been through probably 5 or 6 iterations on the site plan, trying to make sure that we've taken everything into consideration. As part of that process, this is the road access we're talking about that's going to go to future development to the north. And this is their engineer's drawing. It took quite a bit of space, but it still works with what we were trying to accomplish. That will end up coming into Arrowhead Road down here someplace, and it goes up and over the cart path and up the hill. Also, you'll see here a wetland area, which we had the wetlands experts delineate, so we knew where it was and what was going on with it. And it became obvious that coming in on the east side made the most sense. And this intersection here was worked out with engineering in terms of what we want to do to get in and out of the school facility. And that includes the left turn lanes and deceleration and acceleration lanes and so forth on Arrowhead Drive. We come in then and in a curvilinear way and end up at, with a drop-off turnaround right in front of the school. And you come past a future site, which currently is thought of as possibly another elementary school in the future, although it's not set at the moment. So this access road comes all the way in. You can drop off. The buses can do whatever they need to in terms of dropping people off. Of course, this school operates differently than most. You know, there's only shifts of children that come at intervals, so you don't have near the volume at any one time that you would with a normal school. And then that's the school facility. At the very top of the map is the gymnasium that Vernon was talking about, and then this is the playfield here on the west side. And it has some additional parking that can be used by the city and the school, of course, here. And it's, excuse me, it's all linked together by a 12-foot bicycle and pedestrian path which comes off of Arrowhead. We're showing it just ending because this will be your Parks Department design, or what do you want to do here in the future and how that trail all hooks in. But the path comes up, comes along, goes by the playfield, and only crosses the road one time to get to the school, so that there's very little conflict in terms of traffic and pedestrians and bicycles and so on. You have parking on both sides of the school. Some of the requirements of the fire department and others were to have a turnaround on this west side, so there's a full 90-foot cul-de-sac there, and also works for a loop around for the buses and a storage area for five to six buses there when they're at full development. And then the other way, there is a potential access to Centennial Park Drive, which right now is designated as just for emergencies, but who knows, in the future might connect. Or you could open it, if you had events on your facilities, you might be able to open that up for just those events and share the parking and so forth. Should work out pretty well from that standpoint. That's sort of a quick overview of how it works, and we think that the effort that we've put in to date, along with the Parks Department and the engineering and all the other department planning, has come up with a plan that's going to function for both the city and the Parks District. I mean, the school and the Parks District, excuse me. So we're pretty excited about it, and even though there's a lot of constraints, it seems to all work now. You want to say something about anything else?
No, I think one of the things that we were involved in this process, as George mentioned before, we've been through about 7 site plans, and it actually was the right way to do that. There's a lot of different users that we're looking at with the school, and since it's a joint project with Parks and Recreation, there's the joint trails that are going all the way to the school that are connecting up with the golf course, that go to the ball fields, that connect back into the gymnasium. There's all the different efforts of all those, of the mechanics, of the movements for bicycles, pedestrians, buses, drop-offs, all those type of things. So although you know, it's a nice, pretty plan for you, the thought process behind this and the people involved has just been incredible over the last 3 months. This is going before Planning Commission on the 26th. We're hoping to get your approval on that, both the school, and I'm hoping that this group is excited about this project as well as all the people that we've talked to about it. We have a few more issues to get through with the wetlands, but we've done those delineations. That will be going into the Army Corps of Engineers as part of the process, and that's why the road configuration is the way it is. We've avoided those as much as possible. I think we're touching like 0.2 acres or something, so we're minimizing those costs, those impacts, and who knows, that may be an advantage to how that property gets developed with the rest of the surrounding Centennial Park lands also. It has been before the Airport Commission. We will be working with that, with the FAA, with the process. We'll make application to them to show them where this is in relationship to takeoffs and landings, those kind of things. It is affected somewhat by the runway that's being realigned. I think it's 3 degrees or something like that. This was, and the reason it becomes an issue is because at the last site we were looking at, it was a lot larger issue. And so we've taken pains with this to make sure that we're on track with FAA, the airport, and this did go before the Airport Commission. And I'm here to answer any questions.
Well, a couple of things. I guess, first of all, on the wetlands, I'm trying to go back to whenever I was involved with this. When it first came out, the wetlands mitigation and Corps of Engineers and all this, is there, I mean, if developers in town, and this may be something that nobody here can answer, I don't know, but I mean, if there's somebody that is developing around the wetlands, there's trade-offs that you can do, or I'm just trying to think of a way that we could get some help developing.
Well, we are working with that. It used to be, if you were affected less than an acre of wetlands, you can get a waiver for it through the Army Corps of Engineers. That's not the case anymore. But they're looking at, essentially, it's a three-step process. One is the delineations, which we've done. They will go out and verify the delineation and look at how we're doing the development. Did we do everything that we could to avoid the wetlands but still make it a viable project? And then they look at the quality and the quantity of wetlands. There's different qualities of wetlands also. This is way down on the scale. It's got hydric soils. There's a lot of things that really aren't that desirable about it. So the impact to this is negligible as far as quality is concerned. And where we have touched it has been the outskirts of that. And there's a number of ways to deal with that. First of all, they may say, it's not enough quality for us to bother about it. You're only taking 2/10 of an acre out of 5. Don't bother us with that stuff. The next step would be, well, yes, you are impacting it, and depending upon the type of wetlands, and you could reestablish a wetland somewhere else, and usually in 2 to 3 times of the impact area. So if it's 2/10 of an acre, it may be 6/10 or 9/10 of an acre, depending upon how they value that. They like it to be done on site in the similar area. We do have that opportunity here, but the quality of wetlands that we would be creating, again, is not the best in the world. Carson City has a program where they've been, they own the property by the Catholic Church has areas that it's affected by the wetlands, part of it's in the wetlands, and it makes sense to expand that. In the past, developers have worked with Carson City and come up with a number, a dollar figure, that says you have to create an acre of wetlands, it takes this much money, here's the money, city, when you do your expansion of the wetlands, that'll be included in that. Which process this goes through is going to really be up to how the Corps looks at it. Our first take on it is, if there is mitigation required, do it on this property. And I don't care if it's five times as much or six times as much, because it really doesn't impact that. You've got some islands in here. It has some areas that are, because of the shape of it, lend itself to doing that rather easily, even though the quality of wetlands wouldn't be that good. That would be our first take. And the second take would be to work with Carson City, expand the wetlands somewhere else, either pay them in lieu of that, or get on a contract with them and pay for a portion of that development. So I've been kind of long-winded about it, but I wanted to explain it because the processes are a little different depending upon how you approach it.
Commissioner Smolenski?
I'm an avid golfer, and I'm just curious, you know, because I play this golf course quite a bit. And looking at the map that we have in our packet, that's number nine. How much distance is there between the fence and the property, and encompassing that roadway that you've got there on the west side? Granted, I know there's golfers that'll spray a golf ball way to the right. Is that going to cause a problem with cars parked up in that the far parking lot? It's just curiosity, because it's hard to decipher how much distance you have there.
Yeah, it's difficult to determine that. Difficult to determine that. But one of the reasons that, as I understand it, one of the reasons that this road was designed this way, all the way over to the west, was to allow this extra space here to be added to the golf course overshooting area.
So, looking at that map for the people that are watching on TV,
yes,
where that line of the green there to the road, is that line the fence on number nine?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
And how much, just
about
roughly
100 feet.
100
about
feet.
100 more feet.
I mean, you can spray it pretty good. I mean,
yeah, you could miss it even worse than.
But if you do, Steve, I know I'm very familiar with that because I've been that far right before. But 100 feet, okay. And that, looking at, it's really hard to decipher it based on what I'm seeing there and here. You'd really have to shank one to the right on your second shot, because the tee box is way back. Okay.
That's true.
All right.
That's true. You would.
just to expand that a little bit, the road itself is probably about 100 feet from that property line. That's probably another 100 feet to the play field from there. When you look at one of the things we met with the golf course and also with Mark Broder, who's the engineer for SERPA on the road project, that was one of the reasons why they pulled the road over. The other thing that happens here is that road is climbing as it goes up to that cart path. If you look at the roads designed to actually, there's be a tunnel on that cart path, so that gives you an idea of the elevation difference. That road will actually be about 12 to 15 feet above that existing cart path. So,
creates more of a barrier.
And in relationship to the green, this road's probably 20 to 25 feet higher until it actually gets down to where the play field is itself. So you still have, it's coming downhill, but there's quite a barrier in there also. When we look at from the placement of the ball off the tee and then to the green, from the edge of the green to the corner of the school is about 100 yards. So that kind of put things in perspective.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I thought 100 feet.
No, it's about 100 yards to the school. To the school.
To the building.
To the building.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really the biggest impact that we were worried about, and the golf course was worried about with liability, and they felt comfortable when you put those in perspective that way.
That's really bad.
Don't let me. Question on the elementary school. That's something that we hadn't heard about before. Is that, that's something new. What is that all about?
Sure.
I'll let Steve Knight address that.
Madam Chairman, Board, I'm Steve Knight, for the record, the founder of the school and executive director. There's two charter schools in Carson City, and I'm the first state-sponsored charter school. Our sponsors are the state-elected school board. However, Carson City School District sponsors Carson Montessori School, which is a K through 6 school. And Vern and such concern in the city was that, you know, we're giving land to a school, and how about the other charter school in town? So we have sat, and I'm on the board of Carson Montessori, on the school board. And so we will, we have setting aside, and I'm working with Jessica Daniels and them, because they eventually are going to have to move where they're in an industrial area off Goni there, and they've overgrown their school. And sometime in the future, they'd like to share another part of the property, finances permitting, and that way we provide that property to them to build a K through 6 facility belonging to Carson Middle School or Carson Montessori School. And again, that's part of Carson. Well, it's not part of it, it's sponsored by Carson School District.
Okay, so this would be on the property that you're involved with, not on the
It'd be on property. The area we're setting aside over there.
Yes.
So.
Yes, it's on the portion that we're going to be developing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
I am not Supervisor Wolf. What I wanted to say along with that is that the special use permit that we're asking for right now is just addressing, or what is going to be going before the Planning Commission is just the high school and the middle school. My assumption would be, and Jennifer can shake her head yes or no, but if the other charter school, the K through 6th or 5th, has to come in here, again, it's publicly zoned property. I'm assuming they're going to need a special use permit. Yes. We're going to be a neighbor, so we will have the opportunity, once again, to be able to comment. We would be looking for many different things about how it interacts, just like we did this time around, how it interacts with our future community park there. What are some of the good things that can happen as a result of the school going there? But it'll have its own process. So I just don't want to get the commission weighed down into the fact that eventually in the future could be that. We want it to be out there so everybody hears about it, but that's not what the special use permit is asking for.
Well, I have you, Vern. Where are we on the Centennial Master Plan?
Well, the good news is we're still moving ahead. The bad news is the consultant wanted twice as much money as we have. So we are now negotiating with them. Yes, those darn consultants. Anyway, but what we are is we're working with the money we have. Obviously, we've only have a limited amount of money, so we are trying to adjust their scope of work and maybe work with them a little bit on getting their fees reduced. So we're still negotiating at this point. They came in about twice as much as what we have money for. So we're going to work on that.
Okay, and that is the only choice we have, is that one consulting firm? Or
What we did is we went through the process. There were three firms that were interviewed. This one was the one that was picked. If we cannot negotiate out a fee contract with them, then we can go to the second one. So that's our fallback position. I don't believe we're there yet. What we're trying to do is to limit the scope of work, also work with them on the amount of fees they're charging, so hopefully we can work something out. They're a good firm. I'd like to use them. We've invested a lot of time, and they have two into this project, so I'd like to keep them. But our department can't pay them the kind of fees they're asking for currently under the planning process.
Once you get everything settled out, then how long does it take to have some kind of a plan to present?
We're looking at probably a 6 to 9 month window by the time we go through the public process, go through the design, that kind of thing.
So how does that compare with the timeline on this one?
My guess is that they will be under construction, or at least have the plans pretty well completed, because you guys are looking at trying to break ground this fall, aren't you? If things go well? Yeah, I know you wanted to break last fall, but realistically, you know, is that correct?
Yes.
So So they're looking at actually probably breaking ground this fall if everything goes well. So they will be probably under construction when we are in the middle of the planning process. The way staff is looking at approaching it is that this will be, since this site plan will already have been approved, they're going to have construction documents, let alone be building it, hopefully, this will be a given. So when the consultants come on board, we'll say, guys, you got to work with this. We can't change it. You just got to make everything we're doing match to them. And so we've tried really hard, as Mark indicated earlier, with multi-use paths and relationships of parking lots to other facilities, with the idea that we'll be able to blend this all in. And ultimately, at least the vision that I'm trying to work with everybody on is that it becomes a large campus feel. So you have basically the community park that we're looking at just blending into the school grounds. So it's just a huge community park campus. The visual picture I'm trying to paint for everybody is that it would like to be something like Mills Park. We have these big grass open areas, big trees, picnic pavilions. That's the kind of stuff that would blend, I think, very nicely in with the campus feel at the Charter High School.
Thank you. Any other questions from commissioners? Commissioner?
Have you received any comments from surrounding landowners regarding your project?
We have not to date, but I don't believe the Jennifer may be able to address it, that all the notices have been sent out. The school itself, after they've sent out the public notices, the school has put together a letter also explaining how they operate, so that the neighbors aren't as concerned about a school where you have 2,000 kids come in at one time at 8 o'clock in the morning and those type of facilities. So, but that should be happening in the next week to 2 weeks.
And if I may, commissioners, for the record, Jennifer Pruitt, Planning Division. We will be sending out our notices this Friday, and our area of notification is 300 feet around the subject parcel. So far, we have not received any comments, but anyone who's watching or in the audience, if they're interested in information from the Planning Division, they can come into our office or contact myself. Jennifer, my phone number is 887-2180. Regarding the Planning Commission process, we will have a staff report available to the public as well as city staff by May 21st, and we can email that or get that to anyone.
Mr. Smolenski?
One quick question. When you send this out, it's 300 feet of the project?
It's 300 feet around the perimeter of the subject parcel.
Well, I'm quite familiar with there. There's about only one thing that I can think of, and that would be the golf course.
Well,
the houses south of Arrowhead.
To clarify it also, we're required to notify a minimum of 30 unique parcels of land, and so if we don't hit 30 unique parcels, we go out further than 300 okay. feet.
All right. Any other? Commissioner Carlson.
I have a question on the layout that you've chosen here. One of the things that sticks out for me is the fact that the school has been isolated from the recreation field there by the parking lots. What was your reasoning in not putting the school buildings further south and further to the west and adjacent to the field and wrapping the parking around the other way? I'm just curious why you chose to do it this way and isolate the school from the recreation field or the sports field.
A number of factors there. First of all, I'm not so sure that it is that isolated. Actually, it's not that far away, but you know, it is. I suppose from here to here is about 80 or 90 feet.
No, I was saying the school kids who were in the school who would be going out to use the field would have to be crossing the parking lot, and it's obviously
correct.
Topologically it's a choice to lay it out that way.
That's
and it
correct.
Could have been laid out another way. Why did you choose
correct.
To do it this way?
One of the main reasons was that the siting of the school here was most practical in terms of how the grading of the site worked, and putting the school up a little bit higher so that it had a nice presence in terms of how it presented itself as you came to it, and also the further that we came to the south, the more that we would tend to get ourselves involved in the potential edges of the wetlands and so forth. It was more appropriate to have that as playfield or green space. So that made sense to us in terms of the layout and the relationship of future relationship of the school to the park facilities that are to the west seemed to be an important item as well. Those were sort of the main criteria.
Okay, I don't think you're answering the question I'm trying to ask. Maybe it's my fault in phrasing the question. But you have a parking area to the south and to the west of the school buildings.
Correct.
If you moved the school buildings where that chunk of asphalt was and put more asphalt where the school buildings were, in other words, just slide the school buildings down so that they're adjacent to the, move it south and to the west. Move it this way so that the school buildings essentially abut the playing field so that the students could go from the school buildings to the playing field without walking through the parking lot. Just a question, why did you choose to do it that way?
Well, there was a couple of other reasons. As I mentioned, one was the topography. One was the trying to make sure that the school was as far over to the west as was practical in terms of staying away from not only this road but the golf situation. And that would have probably forced me to put or forced us to put a road all the way around the school. All right, we would have to come up and behind with parking behind in order to make up the same parking. And that was something that the client, in this case Silver State, and in reviewing it with engineering and with parks, they weren't really excited about having a loop road around the school or having it go all the way behind it and have a road that is adjacent to the cart path that's to the north.
One of the other things, if I could, is that because of the relationship of the gym and the theater, part of that has to do also with access, not only from the theater standpoint. The theater is on the west end of the gym. So we need to be able to bring trucks and other equipment and vehicles with theater equipment, that kind of stuff in. So we needed access to the west side of the facility as well. And then from the gym standpoint, we're going to have the people come in from the east side of it. So you'll have a lot of the parking for people who are coming to the plays or to the gym being able to access it from the east side. So from a gym perspective, we felt that the flow also would work better by coming in, if you will, kind of having the participants or the theater production on one side, using that facility for parking, and then the people who are coming to the productions or to the basketball games would be on the east side. One of the other reasons for the siding the way it is that when the school isn't in use and we're using those fields, it keeps the parking closer to the fields. Again, it's a joint use situation. So, and that's the beauty, I think, of the site design, is that when you have a parking that's basically between the two facilities you're going to be using, when the school's in use, that parking gets used for the school. When the fields are in use, this is after hours, now all of a sudden all those parking lots now feed the sports fields as well. So your opportunity to be able to provide parking close to this, both not only to the school but also to the sports fields at the same time, work really well when you lay the school on one side and the fields on the other.
And I might add that it also allows us to set, there can be multiple events going on at the same time, Steve Knight for the record, so we're not piling everybody parking all in one spot. And it also keeps the school up high where we keep out of the water table, so we have a lot of sounder foundations too. As soon as we get down there, as Mr. Stabo says, we start to get a higher water table, and it's just not a – then we've got all sorts of issues on engineering for the school. So we want to keep it up as high in the rocks as we can.
Okay, and your conclusion was that those considerations that you've just explained outweigh any hazard to the kids walking across the parking lot or nuisance associated with doing that from an instructional perspective?
Well, and one of the other things, too, we've tried very hard with the multi-use path system that we have around the school. So whether you come out of the gym, if you can kind of follow, George, if you can kind of point this out, if you come out of the gym or the theater doors, whichever way you want, and you go south along the west side of the building, then go across, then you could just go that way. And then we actually have a crossing area. That's going to be maybe an elevated area, but that's where we are actually intending to cross most of the kids. Now, kids being kids, will they kind of wander through the parking lot? Probably. But if, but again, I think we have tried every way we can to be able to provide a safe crossing point. Mark and George indicated earlier that we've really minimized or tried to minimize the pedestrian and automobile conflict. We're down to one. And I think by the time you start moving traffic around the site and all we have is one conflict point, I think that's a very successful site plan from being a pedestrian-friendly campus.
Let me add one other thing. Mr. Smolski has pointed out that we wanted to stay away from the golfers so they're not hitting the building, and then that keeps us out of the out of their range and sight line. Well, we are going to have golf. We are going to have golf lessons at the school because one of our teachers is the Philippine champion. So.
Any other comments from commissioners? Anybody? Go ahead, Commissioner Brooks.
For the play fields, do you have any plans to create a track or any more developed area in that play field for running or anything, or is it just going to be one big chunk of grass?
Currently, the school doesn't really have a need for it. At some future time, the biggest need in the city is the soccer uses, and so that's our major concern. Is this allows on the junior soccer level to have three or four fields there, and we don't, you know, you have to have 2 years of PE, so we have to have on-site PE, but we don't. We're not having huge sporting events with the tracks and such. If we did that, we're allowed to use or request to use like Carson High's facility for a track facility. You can't do everything all at once. And also, we are a charter school and we're limited on our funds. So, and by the way, I do need to introduce our president of our school board, Sue Cocking, is here. And Mike DeGanti next to her is one of our board members. We do have them in the audience.
Thank you. Any other comments from, does anybody in the audience want to address us on this matter? If not, this is an action item. Go ahead.
I move to recommend to the Planning Commission approval of a special use permit request for the Silver State Charter High School and Middle School to be located at John D. Winters Centennial Park.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Carlson. Any further? Oh, Adams. Guys sound alike. All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I abstain.
Okay, one abstention. All right. Motion carries. Thank you very much. We look forward to this whole project.
Thank you.
It's going to be very nice. Okay, our last agenda item is action to set a date for Parks and Recreation Commission tour of Parks and Recreation facilities. And Roger, I'm going to save you the, you know, hopefully we've all read the staff report, so we just
sure
kind of want to decide when we want to do this.
Just a comment, if you look at the next page under future agenda items, June really, we've got a couple weighty issues in June that we're going to be addressing, and it really comes to my mind that maybe trying to schedule a tour at the same time of trying to cover these items may not be very practical. What I would suggest is that we look at maybe doing the tour in July, and I think we probably want to, you'll also notice on the future agenda items I've got listed for June a discussion regarding July's meeting. The meeting in July is July 6th. It's awful close to the 4th of July. A lot of people travel, go on vacations, and that type of activities during that time. We may want to think about maybe rescheduling the July 6th meeting to another time. And maybe we just devote the July meeting to a tour and move the active strategy scorecard down to August. Because I don't think the active strategy scorecard is going to be ready come July anyways. So that would be my suggestion, is that, look, if you really want to do a tour, let's schedule it for July and move the active strategy discussion into August.
So you're talking about maybe the second Tuesday in July?
Yeah, we could take a look at that. And, we wouldn't have to meet here. If we could have, the meeting just really comprised of the tour. So we could just meet at the aquatics facility, load on our buses and vans, and take off on our merry way.
Is there anybody on the commission who has any problems with that particular timing?
Only because of the school board meeting on the second and fourth Tuesday. Somebody could take a camera and bring me pictures.
It would be nice to have Randy on the tour because he's a new commissioner.
Right.
But it wouldn't have to be that date. We could spend some time here this week and look for an open date during July, sometime during the second week or third week of July.
Would we be back by 7 o'clock?
Possibly.
School board meetings don't start till 7.
Yeah, that's possible.
If I was a little late, they probably wouldn't miss me anyway.
Move the meeting up to 5 o'clock or 4:30 and be back in 2 hours. That should be doable.
That works.
I think you were talking in your staff report starting at 4:30 and being back an hour and a half tour, which is, 6 o'clock. So, yeah.
Anybody? I mean, staff can send something else. Stella can check with all of us because two commissioners are absent. But anybody have a problem with it right now?
And so my understanding is what you were suggesting is, since the strategy and scorecard is not going to be ready, that our July meeting would be the tour. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And then we'll discuss the scorecard strategy on with our August meeting. That's up to you folks. I know 4:30 might be pushing some of you who normally work till 5 p.m., but.
Well, July 6th, are people going to be gone on July 6th? Do we know that?
Well, I know that we're going to have some staff members that will probably be gone, and it's just kind of it's a difficult time. It's sort of a holiday, It's very, very close to 4th of July.
Okay, so we're looking at the second week in July, and probably that Tuesday if we can start at 4:30.
Can everybody do 4:30?
I'll just forgo my nap, but.
I think even at 5 o'clock we would be able to get back here by 7.
Okay. Otherwise, we could have somebody come and get Randy. Okay. Then I think this is an action item, so I guess we need a motion to that effect that we want to take the tour 5 o'clock the second Tuesday of July. Does that anybody want to make that into a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so we'll formalize it, and then if things come up, we'll see what happens. But because, like I say, there's two commissioners that aren't here, although I think Pete Livermore is familiar with the parks. Okay, members' announcements, requests for information. Anybody have anything they want to add? I didn't ask if there were any other staff reports. No, there wasn't any. Okay. One of the things I was talking to council about was what I'd like to see. We have a report from the school liaison, and I don't know if you have one or not, but what I'd like to do is add to the agenda reports from the groups that we created. As a matter of the goals, the reason being that we started this kind of late. We didn't even get together until March, and now it's May. So I think we kind of need to be moving on these things if we're going to try to get to them this year. I will note for you, you probably saw in your packet, the form for Adopt a Park. That's the second goal. And working with the chamber and with Joanne Skelly from University Co-op, they've decided with Scott and staff to start a pilot project at Northridge Parks area. And so they're going to have a number of people. They have a survey that's gone out, and this is the survey that is in our packet. And we're going to try to get people in the community to see if they want to come and work in the parks. And so that's kind of the start of that goal. There's other matters that go along with it in terms of volunteer coordinator, in terms of working with the chamber to see if we can get some more businesses. We do have one that's already agreed to do something at Silver Oak at John Mankin Park. Which is just wonderful. So, you know, there may be landscaping companies or others that want to take on a park and adopt it. But we're going to start this as a pilot project anyway. But that goal is moving along, but I think we need to, you know, kind of catch up with the others on the other goals. So we'll start listing those, and if you have a report, give us one. We'll appreciate it. And is there a report? Do you have the report, Randy?
I have just one item. I want to kind of steal the forum here for one thing that is kind of important that's coming up. This Thursday, day after tomorrow, at Carson Middle School at 7 o'clock, there's going to be a meeting for all the parents who will have students at Carson Middle School next year to discuss the requirement for uniforms for all the students who are going to Carson Middle School next year. If you have a student going there, it's really important that you should show up. And that's essentially the important thing I have to report. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, Carson Middle School. It's in the library, but if everybody shows up, they'll move it over to the gym.
Thank you. Is there anything else to come before us? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Then moved and seconded by one of those guys over there. We're adjourned. Thank you.